Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us. My name is Jose Albino. I'm your life and empowerment coach, and I am your host for this evening and every other Wednesday here on the Life Coach Radio Network. And I'm hosting from the great city of New York. If this is your first time listening to my show, a bit of background about me. Again, Jose Albino. Life and empowerment coach. I assist clients remove the blocks that prevent them from living the life that they desire. As a trained psychotherapist and life coach, I fuse modalities and tooling techniques from both disciplines, counseling and coaching, to assist clients create concrete and sustainable shifts in their lives. As always, I want to acknowledge you for joining us this Wednesday evening, the first week of this December. Can you believe it? We are actually in December 2013. How time flies. But it's actually an optimal time of reflection in terms of setting and reevaluating new goals and intentions for yourself and for your family as well. So welcome to Purposeful Conversation, where I speak to ordinary people about their triumphant and extraordinary personal stories and their desire to care greatly. I'm calling today's show putting whisper into action, because I often hear the phrase, God often whispers in your ear, or the source, or the universe, on whichever one you reference, but usually God often whispers things in your ear, things that you should or should not be doing as it relates to your life and the choices you're making that are truly aligned with your life purpose and your values. To me, this whisper is like your inner voice, right? Your intuition, your gut. We all own it, but many of us just simply discard that voice that's inside of us. So our conversations will revolve around that context. So today, I'm very excited for today's show. I'm super excited. Our guest today is my soul sister, Ashaki Rucker, which I met Ashaki in undergrad at the University of Albany. We were both undergrads. And then we went on our individual personal journeys, and we reconnected a few years after we graduated, and then eventually we completed our advanced degrees, and then we reconnected. So we have been good friends well over years. And then needless to say, again, we are in sync with our personal missions and journeys of following the entrepreneurial path. As usual, I usually give the opportunity to introduce herself in a few minutes, but we officially begin the show. But as usual, I like to set the tone for the show by referencing some quotes that will put listeners in the zone, if you will. So I do this for two reasons. And A is to kind of, you know, put people in that mental state to begin thinking about their lives in the context of what we will be discussing. And two, to give individuals a couple more minutes to join us. So I'm going to reference some quotes, and if you can just be patient with me and just let them really thinking. The first one is, achievement of your happiness is the only moral purpose of your life. And that happiness, not pain or mindless self-indulgence, is the proof of your moral integrity, since it is a proof and the result of your loyalty to the achievement of your values. Ayn Rand. The second one is by the great Dr. Wayne Dyer. And his quote is, when I chase after money, I never had enough. When I got my life on purpose and focused on giving of myself and everything that arrived into my life, then I was prosperous. Again, this quote states, when I chased after money, I never had enough. When I got my life on purpose and focused on giving of myself and everything that arrived into my life, then I was prosperous. The next one is one of my favorite authors, Napoleon Hill, which I am rereading his book, The Law of Success, at the moment. And his quote is, there is one quality which one must possess to win, and that is definiteness of purpose, the knowledge of what one wants, and a burning desire to possess it. That's, again, there's one quality which one must to win, and that is definiteness of purpose, the knowledge of what one wants, and a burning desire to possess it. And the last one is by the historical Ellen DeGeneres, and her serious quote is, I work really hard at trying to see the big picture and not getting stuck in ego. I believe we're all put on this planet for a purpose, and we all have a different purpose. When you connect with that love and that compassion, that's when everything unfolds. And that's by Ellen DeGeneres. So there you have it. I hope those words made you think a little bit critically about your life just for a moment. During our conversations, if you have any questions or comments for Shaki, please feel free to call us at 646-716-9397. That's 646-716-9397. And I know we do have some silent participants that rather just listen, and that's okay as well. But we encourage you to call in if you do have questions, and we know you're listening. I usually try my best to get to questions, and if I don't, this show is archived, as many of the magnificent shows here on the Life Coach Radio Network. So you can always come back to blogtalkradio.com, look for Life Coach Radio Network, and you can find this show, Purposeful Conversation. Also, I post this archive link on my Twitter and other social media feeds and send me an email to my contact as well. So you can always look out for that. I know that individuals do join us, but this book cannot stay for the entire duration. So, again, thank you. As I referenced in the show description, Ashaki has worked in executive capacity for such companies, Manhattan Bank, Deutsche Bank, PricewaterhouseCoopers, UBS, Time Warner, and the Walt Disney Company. And not long ago, she decided to walk away from it all to branch out on her own. So Ashaki, thank you for being here and welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Great. Fantastic. All right, so let's rock and roll. So why don't we start with, I know we're going to touch on a lot of many different constructs within the next 45 minutes to an hour. But let's start with your professional journey in corporate America so you can paint a picture of, you know, for the listeners where you started, your progression, and then we'll roll into where you're at now.
Sure. I think I was one of the people who was fortunate enough to figure out what I wanted to do early on, because in my senior year at SUNY Albany, I did an internship in HR at an insurance company. And at the time, I thought I wanted to be an attorney, but I figured I would, you know, use my summers to try different experiences, and I landed in this HR experience that basically changed my thinking in terms of the direction of where I wanted to go. So after graduating, I went into an entry-level management training program within financial services, and it basically gave me an opportunity to learn every facet of HR and learn many facets of the financial services business. And then I continued to work in financial services for about 10 years. In that time, I decided to go back and get my master's in organizational psychology from Columbia University's Teachers College. And then after 10 years in financial services, I was approached by a recruiter for an opportunity within media and entertainment at Time Warner, and that was when I made the industry switch. So I was always doing HR and rising through the ranks in different positions within financial services, but this was the first time that I had moved outside of financial services. And I spent a couple years at Time Warner. And then personal reasons led me to want to move to the West Coast, and that was when I landed at the Walt Disney Company. And I worked at Disney for a total of 6 years, so I left Disney in April of this year and have since decided to follow some entrepreneurial aspirations that I had.
Cool. All right. So tell us about that. Tell us about where you're at today professionally.
So what I'm doing is I'm actually building what I'm calling a positive self-image lifestyle brand. So it's basically, the company is called I Define Me, and it's essentially focused on offering consumers the option to purchase products and basically things that we all use today. So clothing, dinnerware, furniture accessories, jewelry, technology accessories, but the difference and what I'm offering is that my products will all have really cool and fun affirmations integrated into them. So essentially giving people the option to integrate more inspiration and affirmation into their day-to-day lives. So either, you know, you can do that very overtly by wearing one of the T-shirts or sweatshirts, or you could do that more subtly if you just want, you know, like throw pillows in your home. But the goal is really to counterbalance all the noise in our world, because what I think we've all been exposed to is, you know, whether it's media or commercials, et cetera, there's so much noise in the system that tells us that who we are at our core just isn't enough. So what I'm trying to do is bring forward a brand of products that, you know, you can integrate into your day-to-day that say, no, you are enough, and stay true to who you are.
I love it, and I love the name. I define me. And you know, it's interesting because you mentioned, you know, there's a lot of images out there of people or advertisers or the media industry telling us who we should be. But I love the idea of individuals having a place where they can purchase, you know, the merchandise that they can affirm for themselves and even have them in their homes. I think that's brilliant.
Yeah, and the tagline is affirm yourself, inspire others, be you. Because I think, you know, as we travel through our life's journey, the more that we affirm ourselves, I think other people get inspired by that. If they're in your presence and they have a sense that you're living authentically from the true space of who you are, then naturally other people get inspired by that. So my goal is to sort of create a community as well of individuals who are supporting each other in that process.
Fantastic. Now, I definitely want to address your decision process to follow your dream later on in the show. But obviously, you know, the organizations or institutions, organizations you worked with, and definitely the positions that you held within these organizations were prestigious. How did your decision to walk away from the prestige and the financial piece that comes with it, how did that play out within your network of family, friends, colleagues? How did that play out?
That's a great question. I honestly received probably every form of commentary that you could imagine, you know, from shock, like, are you serious? You know, are you nuts? What are you going to do? People, you know, projected all kinds of limiting beliefs on me. Oh, my God, you know, how are you going to survive? I mean, it was, and then, you know, to counterbalance that, I had people who gave me really positive feedback and said, you know, you'd obviously, you know, you're someone who's always made decisions that make sense for you. You know, given that I had moved in quite a bit in my career amongst the different organizations that you just talked about, and they were very much supportive of my decision. But there were definitely a lot of people and a lot of colleagues, too, just, you know, even though I spoke to the fact that I was making the decision because I had had my son, my priorities had simply changed, and then I also had, you know, the entrepreneurial interest. I think, people also box you in, you know, and sometimes it's almost unconsciously, because it's just they know you as, you know, what you were. So everybody just knew me as, you know, type A career ladder, very successful, you know, all about business. But as, you know, your life evolves and different things happen, you evolve. Sometimes you just have to help people through that transition. And hopefully you don't get swallowed up, you know, in all the feedback and the commentary.
Yeah, it's hard not to. You know, it's definitely a challenge to kind of decide what you're going to filter, right, what you're going to allow to enter your consciousness. But it's interesting that you mentioned that, you know, where we work or we used to work, that is people who have perceptions of who we are, right, based on where we work and what we do, even what we drive. But there seems a bit of a juxtapose as to who people, you know, saw you as, and then this complete switch to this affirming, you know, this company that's really about affirmation and positivity. This is something that's always existed within you, and that just, you know, okay.
Yeah, I'm so glad you, I'm really glad that you said that, because I think, I think all of who we are, you know, exists in us from the moment when we're born. I think it's really just our job to travel through life's journey and almost and bring it all forward. And, you know, people knew a side of me, and what I was doing was basically bringing a different side of me to the forefront, essentially. You know, it's not like these pieces of me didn't exist. I just, I think we have different life events that trigger, you know, what pieces of our personality play a bigger forward position in our lives. And for me, it was the birth of my son. When my son was born, I knew that I needed to figure out how to make myself more present and available for him, and then obviously, you know, continue to find things that I love to do, you know, to make me feel fulfilled. So, you know, his birth basically changed my lens, and I, and you know, being an entrepreneur is certainly not anything that anybody should take lightly, because I certainly, everything that I've done, you know, up through now basically positioned me for what I'm doing and where I'm going. So I don't even necessarily view it or perceive it as a switch. It's basically taking everything that I've learned and the things that are going to be useful for me now as I go forward and serve me positively into this next phase of my journey. So yeah, I don't necessarily see it as a switch, complete exit per se, but more of a transition and leveraging all the things that you know, I'm bringing with me.
Okay. And that makes sense. I mean, I think that, you know, with your HR experience, with your, you know, the company that you work with, there's a lot of transferable skills, obviously, that you can use to be an entrepreneur. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Obviously, you wear different hats. Now, with all the judgment, and obviously a lot of judgments and whispers from naysayers, you know, these whispers may be cultural, societal, like familial. You know, there's just, again, we were talking about all these messages, both positive and negative, that, you know, must filter and actually allow, we have to allow and make a be at choice in deciding what we're going to allow into our consciousness, knowing that this is what's out there in the universe, energy was out there in terms of these whispers and these judgments. What kept you headstrong and made you stand in your conviction to branch out?
I think at the end of the day, it comes down to, you know, drowning out the noise and tapping into your own voice, which is really what my new brand is all about, you know, in terms of the name of it and the I Define Me, because one of the big questions that I always ask myself when I'm faced with that kind of thing is, what are the consequences of my inaction? So if I don't, you know, follow the light, follow the voice, follow the whisper, you know, whatever you call it, follow the messages that I'm getting from the universe, what are the consequences of that? Because I think we've all probably found ourselves in a place where we're faced with that. And, you know, it shows up, the unhappiness or the lack of peace or the unsettledness that I think shows itself when we don't stand firm in who we are shows up in so many different ways. You know, it's like I wouldn't be able to find my peace, you know, if I didn't follow my own voice. So I basically, you know, I kind of asked myself the question that I usually ask myself, and I thought, you know, I'm simply not going to be happy, and how is it going to be helpful to me to focus on what other people want me to be and package myself in a way that makes other people comfortable if I can't find my own personal peace? So that was what I think ultimately lended itself to me saying, you know what, I'm going to give this a shot. And the reality is, Jose, is that everything that we do is a point in time. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
If any decision that you make it at any point in your life is a point in time. It's not as if, oh, my God, I'm making this decision and it's the end of my world, you know, whether it went a positive direction or not. I just think that sometimes people overemphasize things, and I get that, you know, because people care about you and they, you know, want the best for you. But at the same token, it's a point in time. It's a decision that I'm making, and I was coming to it from the perspective of this is going to be successful, whatever it is, because I'm trusting that voice. You know, I just stood firm in that seat and followed it. And I'm, you know, and I haven't been happier, frankly. Honestly, I am so happy right now, and have not looked back at all. So I would not have changed the decision or how I decided to do it at all.
I love that, because I mean, I think one of the things that a process I did take, and I've been in that position, is that, you know, it takes looking at yourself, right? Whether it be in the mirror or asking yourself those hard questions that are very hard to answer. That's why when you reference inaction has consequences, and I'm telling you right now, I'm going to claim that because I love it, because you always say, you know, your actions have consequences, and they do, but so does inaction. And, you know, so I love that, but it also, I'm also hearing, and I'm also hearing you smile, I'm also, it sounds to me like that this is also a kind of a gift for your child as well. You know, it's like a happy mom, a happy child, you know what I mean?
Exactly. What kind of role model am I for my son if I'm not living my fullest life? You know, what model am I showing him? And, you know, I have one child, and what I found is that they see and feel everything, you know. So he knows when I'm the happiest, and he knows when I'm not. So that adds an additional element, you know, even outside of myself and what I feel. I also, you know, have the beautiful gift of, you know, having a son who I want to be a great role model for. So, yeah.
Fantastic. Now, what would, you know, I want to talk a couple of minutes on what was the hardest part of walking away from, you know, the field that you worked in and that do hold such power and prestige. What was the hardest part of doing that?
Mm-hmm. I think for me, the hardest part was feeling as though I was abandoning the people who were coming up behind me. You know, when you are a young African American, you know, in Fortune 100 company, there aren't many of you. And what I learned is that people are watching everything you do and are seeing themselves and their potential in you. And people would share that with me, you know, just whether it be in meetings or when I was doing coaching or mentoring. And I really took that to heart. And in the decision, you know, I felt like, wow, you know, I knew that I had done what I had come there to do, but at the same token, I felt like, wow, you know, I'm exiting, and who's going to be there for them, you know? And that's what I felt at my core, and I had to again work through that,
like,
and reposition
like
that.
Like a sense of
responsibility. Yes, yeah, because I felt responsible for them. You know, it was like I spent a lot of time. I didn't talk about it when I talked about my career, but I spent a lot of time, you know, talking to people and coaching and mentoring. And that was one of the things that I enjoyed the most about being in that environment. And, yeah, I felt like I was abandoning them. However, what I decided to do to turn that, you know, feeling on its head was – one, you know, recognize the fact that I had paved the way, and, you know, I created opportunities for them. So acknowledge, accept that, embrace that. And then secondarily, I've also maintained contact with most of them. So I'm sharing my new story with them as well, and offering inspiration, you know, in a different paradigm. So I think, you know, if a relationship is important to you, then you commit to maintaining it. And that's essentially what I've done. I keep in touch with a lot of people. I share my journey. And they've actually even helped me. You know, they've come forward and participated in my focus groups and given me feedback on the idea, helped me refine it. So that's been a really wonderful element that I didn't anticipate. I knew I would stay in touch, but I wasn't sure directionally exactly what I was going to do when I left. So who knew? But that's been, you know, one of the amazing blessings that came out of it. So while it was difficult, I was able to, you know, kind of turn it on its head and turn it into something that was win-win for me and win for some of the people who felt really connected to me.
Fantastic. So it sounds like, you know, you chose to stay in relationship with them. It just looks a different way than how it used to be.
Yes.
Okay. And what was the easiest part? What was the easiest part? What kind of brought you joy? You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
You know,
I
walked away from here, but like, it was like, you know, because it's like, you know, you don't want to be like, I walked away, but. What was the easiest part for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think the easiest part, and you tapped into it, is just connection to my son. And the easiest was just, you know, walking into the light of my future, which I knew was going to give me the opportunity to spend as much time with this beautiful, you know, little being that I brought into the world and am responsible for shaping. So for me, that was so fulfilling and so exciting that it made the decision easy as well. And he, you know, he talked a lot about, like, wow, mommy, I'm so glad you're around a lot. I mean, he's young, he's four, but it's amazing, again, how much they tap into and how much they appreciate you being present. So that was great for me because I, you know, again, I was being present for other people, you know, who needed me in that environment. But, you know, it's obviously important for me to be available and present and inspiring to my own son. So that was the easiest.
I love that. I mean, I was actually preparing for the show, and I was started thinking of little Austin and just kids, and you know, I started thinking that we can just see children again, or think like children. They really pick up on things. You know, they have no filters. You know, they're just open, and you know, for a 4-year old to kind of acknowledge, oh, well, you're really around. You know, it's like, what were they thinking when I wasn't around? You know what I mean?
Right.
What kind of feeling was that probably mustering? And imagine for parents who are never around and goes into adulthood, imagine the developmental process for a child can be very difficult.
Yeah.
Now, walking away from a career that you've invested so much of yourself in, and it helps shape us in some form, right? A career can be shaped us. It can be understandable that some have raised eyebrows. Now, to that end, what are your thoughts on having a support system and having a soft place to land?
Very important. You know, I think who you surround yourself with just generally is so important, even to your earlier question around what kind of feedback and input I received when I initially made the decision. And I think, you know, once you make the decision, again, equally important to have an amazing set of people around you who you can, you know, talk to and lean into when you feel like you need to, you know, bounce ideas off them or just get feedback or input, because it was different. You know, I mean, when I first left, I spent a lot of time with my son. It was wonderful. But there were days that I thought, before I really figured out what I wanted to do, I had those moments of, wow, you know, what, you know, where is this going? You know, I mean, that just the honest truth is like, what, you know, where is this path leading? You know, and I wrote it all down, and do I deserve this moment? You know, you ask yourself those questions, like, what, you know, what are you thinking, taking, you know, time off? So I want to share that because it's not just all like, oh, yeah, you know, jump out of corporate America and go straight, and there aren't those moments and questions that come up. But having that support network, to your question, was really helpful. So when you have those moments, you know, you can talk to positive people who can talk you down, you know, talk the negative noise down if mm-hmm. you're not being as successful with yourself. So absolutely, was really great to have people around me who I trusted enough to talk to. But I wanted to openly share that because that's the real, you know, that's the reality. Mm-hmm. That's what happens. And I think anyone who's struggling with the path and decides to go down the path should absolutely know that those moments will come. But that does not mean that you made the wrong decision. It just means you're human, you know, and
right,
it means
absolutely.
That fear still does exist in you. But it almost more so means that you're probably heading in absolutely the right direction that you should be moving into. Because for me personally, I feel like when fear really shows up and creeps in, I'm heading in the right direction to do the work that I need to do with myself to really stretch myself to live to my fullest potential.
I love that. And I appreciate the candidness. You know, I think that in having these type of conversations in my personal relationships or even in my personal situation and also with past guests, you know, the fact that, you know, individuals think that these moments should not be talked about. It absolutely should be talked about because that's the authenticity of situations like this. You know, it's a balance of emotions. There's some,
right.
some high days and some low days. It's just you have to decide who you surround yourself and that you can feel comfortable enough to share those very deep conversations about not feeling enough or, you know, doubting yourself. And I actually love the fact that you mentioned that does not mean that you need to give up or that you're going in the wrong direction. It just means that you need to put your big girl panties on, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Your bootstraps on
and really
frame why you're doing this in the first place. And not to lose your way. So I really appreciate you being candid about that. Now, my next question is, I have found that people believe that, like I was saying now, we were saying, you believe that drastic life-changing decisions are easy to make, whether it be changing careers, whether it be leaving a relationship, moving to another city, or being a non-traditional student in a traditional world, going back to school, and that people think that you just get up one day and do it. You know what I mean? And some may very well do. You know what I mean? There are people out there of all persuasions. But the framing of this question is, you know, that sometimes there's work behind. How important is doing, quote, the work when a life-altering decision is being considered? And did you do the work on yourself prior to making your change? And I'll obviously let you answer that, but when I'm saying the work in the context of the listener, it's really personal development, self-development, whether it be books or meditating or taking that class, but basically self-nurturing and really facing yourself in that capacity.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I you know, the work is just always ever present. You know, I feel like it's a process that we're all going through all the time. And I personally am a big meditator and a big prayer person. So I meditate every single morning just to, you know, give myself those quiet moments that we talked about to really tap into myself, to connect with God, to connect with the God in myself, to frame up my day, to frame up my future. You know, when you talk about the work is really getting clear on what that vision is, and that's some of what I think came out of the work that I was doing. But it's what I want to make sure comes across is that you're not going to get all the answers. You know, what I got was enough confidence and strength and faith and peace from that process to know that it was okay for me to take the leap. And then, you know, when I did that, came the next phase of the work is, okay, more quiet time. What is it, you know, you have some ideas, but what exactly is it that you're trying to accomplish? You know, my idea started as a T-shirt line, and then it blew up to a brand when I left and started doing the work, you know, because I had finally given myself time to get quiet enough, you know, and away from the corporate environment, because I took that step to really focus on what that vision was and then how I wanted to manifest it. So absolutely, but I just want the listeners to know that it's a process, and you don't want to overthink it, overwork it, you know, everything in moderation. It's like you do the work, do enough of it to get you to a point where you feel steady and you're, you know, in a nice space where the voices and all the noise doesn't, you know, rock your boat so much. And then you keep moving forward and keep doing the work. All the universe will rise right up to meet you where you are. And I love when Oprah Winfrey says that, because I found that as I got clearer and then started taking the steps to manifest my vision, it was almost like there were gifts coming to me from the universe from every direction. That's the only way to describe it. It's amazing because people extended themselves and things, you know, just helpful things came into my space or contacts, and I was like, wow. But that's the power of being in alignment with who you are and who you were brought here to be, you know, because once you really get tapped into that, then you start working in the current of the universe. You start riding the wave, and it's actually so much easier than I think people think. You know, it's not a big struggle. It's not, the struggle is the work, you know, that you talked about. Then when you get through the work and you start to, you know, get in the zone, it's super cool.
I agree. Now, I wanted to go back to check a little bit and kind of see what your thought patterns or your process was in terms of, you know, we're talking about these whispers or this gut feeling, this intuition. Walk me through your decision process of finally listening to that voice. Has it always been inside you? Did it start at a particular place? So walk me through the process of finally listening to that voice inside you and making this life-changing decision to become an entrepreneur.
Right. You know what's funny is it's so funny because, you know, I did meditation, and then I'm blessed to have a wonderful circle of family and friends around me who are really supportive and who know me well and who I could trust and you know, I can have those conversations with. And then there's just you get tired of hearing yourself whining. You know what I mean? And I think that's where the question, that's how I got to asking myself, what are the consequences of inaction? Because one of my consequences was hearing myself whine about how I didn't feel as though I was doing what I was meant to do, you know, and the moaning about that and the whining. And then eventually it was like, okay, you know, like either you can keep, you know, you can keep, I mean, it wasn't like I was miserable, though, you know, it was like great job, you know, VP title, great money, et cetera, but there was just that nagging voice, and it was like either I could walk in the direction of the voice and give it time and figure out exactly what it was calling me to do, or I could go in the other direction and get really cozy in the space of, you know, I'm going to trade my truest, most authentic happiness and peace for this other stuff. You know what I mean? This other stuff that also feels pretty cozy. You know?
Right.
So I think that's ultimately what, frankly, made me decide to move. It was like, okay, I had done some of the work. I felt steady. I had great people around me, enough, you know, they were supportive. But whether they were supportive or not, I was moving in that direction because I knew that it was going to bring me closer to that core peace that I did not have when I was, I'll call it settling, because that's what it was. You know, it may not have seemed that way to anybody because from the outside looking in, it's like, oh, that all looks real shiny and pretty.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
it's not about the external, obviously. It's about, you know, this conversation that we're having is about looking within and just kind of, you know, having enough compassion for yourself and for your soul to telling you and to move in that direction versus towards outward things that only have short-term benefits and gains.
Right. It's interesting that you mentioned whining, and we're not talking about Cabernet or Shiraz. You know, I really, really like the fact. I love my whining in that capacity. You know what I'm saying? With
right.
wine involved, you know,
right.
bottle of wine. And I love that you mentioned whining because I, you know, one of the, you know, doing the work, reading all these books, so many that sometimes I can't even keep the titles correct. And, you know, I mean, let me be truthful. You know, I'm just trying to soak everything
yes.
in. But I was reading this book, and I can't tell you which one, but it's some heat somewhere around here. And, you know, it was about, basically it was talking about complaining, which was what whining is. And,
right.
it just stuck with me that it's that when people whine or complain about something, they're not realizing that what they're really saying is that there is a better option. There is something
yes.
better than what you're complaining about. That's what whining and complaining really is about you
yes.
not liking something, which means you are at choice to change that something that you're not liking. And,
so well
you know,
said.
That's what's really resonated. So then when people, you know, and even with clients I've had in the past and employees and whatever, and even some of my fraternity brothers, I would say, well, what are you complaining about? Well, do something. You know, so
right.
I love the fact that you were whining and complaining and you chose to do something as opposed to burden people over and over about something that you are in complete responsibility of being at choice for. You know
yes.
what I mean?
Yes.
So I just wanted to point that out.
So well said. So well said.
And, so everyone who's listening out there, the next time you complain, really, really reframe that and really say, okay, I'm at choice. I'm complaining
mm-hmm.
about this over and over.
Mm-hmm.
What choice can I make so I don't have to complain about the situation?
Right.
Now, we haven't been speaking of issues and voices. We have all those. I know that you referenced it a little bit earlier. You know, I call them gremlins. You know, the late, great Mitch Ford used to call them shadows. You know, we have this, as I talked about, whispers and these little voices inside of us. That are very positive, we also have a voice inside of us, a voice that it can be very unkind and very intrusive, particularly when we want to make life-changing or bold moves. A lot of chatter happens, right? How do you think one begins to fight the fear and the doubt and that I'm not enough and I'm not worthy, whether it be situational or whether it be for a minute or even some people sit in that space for weeks. How did you cope with, you know, having these fears and doubts, which I have to say are very, very human? How did you stand in the conviction of your worthiness and say, you know what, I'm going to push that aside because I'm worthy of this, whatever it is this can be?
It's a great question. I think, you know, for me it was a lot of it was, I would say, it was faith, you know. I have a very strong relationship with God, and for me, I find that I need to trust God, and I need to trust the God in me, you know, enough to, you know, get to your point is just I'm worthy. I love the quote. It makes me actually think of the quote that you started off with. I think it was Ellen's quote who said, you know, every one of us, you know, has a purpose.
Right.
And you know, tapping into my faith and the God, that the spark of God that I think we all have within us, you know, gave me the courage, if you will, to, you know, call myself trustworthy of you know, making a bold move, and I think you used the words early of daring greatly. You know, it was, you know, you're worthy, God. You're here with a spark of God, and you can go ahead and do something with it. And again, and then that question comes back: if you don't, what does that mean to you? What does that mean to, you know, your family? Because that, you know, will all show itself if you decide not to move in that direction. And I just want to say to everybody listening, every one of us is worthy. You know, no matter where you grew up, what your background was, who's told you you're not worthy, you are absolutely worthy, worthy of the best. You know, there are so many times where I, even in just my career, where, you know, I was hoping for one thing and then God brought forward something so much greater than I even dreamed or thought of. And those are those moments, too, where you're just reminded that, you know, there is something bigger than me, there's something bigger than us that, you know, rewards me when I trust. So I just want to encourage everyone to, you know, just start off your day with whatever affirmations, you know, you need to tap into that space of being worthy and move through the world as such, you know, walk as such, talk as such, and it will show itself to you, but you have to believe it in your heart before it will show up. That was my process, and that's what my brand and my business is all about. Again, you know, is trying to help people tap into that, that worthiness, because there's so many messages around us that tell us we're not worthy unless we have this car or that or this or that, whatever it is. And it's like, no, just as you are worthy. So
Just simply because you are.
Yes.
Just because you exist. Simply because you exist, you simply are already worthy. And I appreciate you referencing faith, because for those people who really stand in it, you know, it's like for those who pray or ask for certain things, it's just, you know, be grateful for what you are given, but also be grateful for what you are not given. You know what I'm saying? Because it opens a reason for that. Oh, I didn't get this promotion, or I didn't get this. It's also, you know, be grateful for that as well. I was listening. I was watching me and my friend Oprah, my friend in my head. I was listening to What Are Souls as she was interviewing Susan Sarandon. And one of the things that she said, and she was talking about her journey, I think it was, the other one that they just started talking to into the screen. And just the same way that I was talking about, you know, be thankful for what you're given and that you ask, you actually do receive, or be thankful for what you don't receive. And one of the things that she did say was that when she was referring to a role that she didn't get or something that goes on in her life, that when it doesn't happen, instead of moping around or inquiring of why God, or, you know, why did this happen, she actually celebrates it. She actually, you know, when something great happens, you go out and get a nice bottle of wine or champagne. You know, she, and it was so powerful for me, because she, when something doesn't happen the way she wanted it to happen, she celebrates it as well, because she also acknowledges that that can also be seen as a gift. You know what I mean?
Yes. Oh, that was Masterclass. I actually saw that one that you're referencing. Yeah, the Masterclass with Susan. Yeah, I saw that, and you're right, because I think she's also tapping into, you know, the fact that, right, there is something bigger than us. So if you don't get that, it's for a reason, because you must be being positioned for something else. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And, you know, actually, one of my questions was going to be, what role has faith played enough to answer that, which obviously a huge role. And what about the importance also of authenticity and living on purpose? Is that something that, is that a value, one of your core values or within your core values, you know, authenticity and living on purpose?
Absolutely. Paramount to my life. And as I continue to, you know, evolve, it becomes even more and more paramount. It's almost like, and I don't know, you know, if this is the same way for you as well, but as you get older, you know, you get more mature, it's almost like I feel like I can't breathe when I'm not living on purpose. You know, when I was talking about those things that kind of like show up that are the consequences of your inaction, it's just like you feel that, you know, it shows up in different ways for different people, whether it be, you know, sluggish or can't sleep or just, you know, depression, or everybody, you know, has these things that show up when you're not living on purpose. And you know, for me, it was just more feeling out of alignment. And then it would translate into complaining and whining like we talked about. So as I get older, I just feel like I absolutely have to focus on living on purpose and knowing that my purpose may not be exactly what I thought it would be or anticipated that it would be, because who knew I would be branching out and trying to build a brand around, you know, inspiration and affirmation. Absolutely not on my radar. But, you know, I say to everyone listening is you have to stay open, you know, when you're, like, grasping onto things so tightly and you get locked into what it is you think your purpose is, then sometimes you find yourself off purpose because you're trying to control and trying to, you know, steer the car so hard.
Right.
And I think one of the things that I'm finding is I, you know, get quiet, tap into the voice, and then just release things a little bit. You know, I put my intention into the universe, and I release, and I don't hold so tightly to things, then what is supposed to be, what really and truly is supposed to be and is supposed to show itself, I give it room to show itself, you know, and it's not always exactly what I expected. And sometimes it could be devastating, you know, what you find. But you got to be okay with that, you know,
right.
Because I think what's always on the other side of it is always so much greater and so much better, to your point earlier about what Susan Sarandon said.
I totally agree with you. I mean, it's like, again, having faith and believing that there is things will happen in divine order. You know, trust the process.
Yes.
Trust the process and trust the process of life. So I know it can, and it, you know, and acknowledging and validating that it can be hard to just relinquish control a little bit, even if it's symbolic, right? Because it's really symbolic. You relinquish symbolic control. You're basically saying, universe, help me. You know, we're coexisting in this relationship. And I know that sometimes even in psychologically, it can be hard for people to actually say, you know, we're working together on this, and I'm going to release it to you.
Right.
You know, like people like to hoard their space, and that includes mental space. So the trusting that there is a divine order to life, that in itself is very freeing. Now, I have about three more questions, and I love this conversation. What would you say to a person listening? You know, it can be a lawyer, a social worker, or whoever, you know, who knows in their spirit, who's getting whispers, who wants to kind of like, is this resonating with me? I'm ready for my aha moments. But the most in their spirit is that they want to lead their career and begin in life, or, you know, it's not even leading a career. You know, what would you say to people who just want to make a change, whatever that change may be, that they really believe they were put here to lead, right, to be more on purpose, but they're scared of what people might say, scared of not making enough money, scared of failure, like we spoke before, of not feeling enough. What last word and nugget of inspiration would you offer someone who wants to live in purpose, particularly in the context or life in general?
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a great question. I think the first thing that I would say is, you know, when it comes to fear, one of the big things that always shows up for us is that what if question. Well, what if this doesn't fail? What if this isn't successful? What if it fails? You know, what if, you know, but I think for every what if, there's a counter question of what if it's amazing?
Right.
You know what I mean? What if it's actually so much bigger and so much more successful than I ever anticipated? So I think we have to get in the groove of counteracting fear with other possibilities, you know, because we're so comfortable asking ourselves the worst possible questions. We've got to shift gears and ask the other positive questions, because I think when you listen to I'll just use celebrities that we all know would love, like Oprah Winfrey, and, you know, whether it be Michael Jordan, you know, there's so many greats, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, all these people who do great things, they are just so in tune with the possibilities. So I would say if you're, you know, having that self-talk that is just the scary stuff, you've got to turn that on its head and think about what are all the great things that could possibly come out of this, and where have I seen other people look their fear in the face and great things, you know, come out of it. So look for external inspirations as well. You know, sometimes when the self-talk gets so loud, the reality is that we can't quiet it, and sometimes you do have to look outside yourself just for that reinforcement, if you will, that helps you to drive in the direction that you need to drive in. And then the other piece of it, I would say, is you have to plan. You know, planning.
Wait for that,
you know,
plan.
Yeah,
yeah,
like,
right,
let's get to the real. Like, it is not
right.
Just I'm a free fall and skydive. You know, that's a
right.
That's a good feeling, but you have to plan. I planned. You know, I probably had a plan in place for about a year. I think I was thinking, at least thinking about it and thinking about what exactly is it that I have to do to set myself up such that I would be, you know, comfortable enough to do this, and this would make sense for me and make sense for my family as well, you know, even just financially to the question of not having enough money is, I think sometimes it always feels like you're never going to have enough money because you always want,
right.
You know, you want so much money. It's like, look, if you think it's ever going to be, I've got all the money I need, it's like, then you'll never go anywhere. So you've got to put a plan in place that feels realistic, but that is a plan that says, you know, I have 6 months of cash, or 9 months of cash, enough that it makes me feel like, no, I'm not going to spend all my time worrying about where my next meal or how I'm going to feed my kids. You've got to position yourself. And then, you know, think through the steps, whatever it is. If it's, even things at work, if it's setting things up such that you're, you know, helping your transition out of the company be more successful so that you can retain those relationships. So I think, you know, the planning is huge. And then I say just do it. You know, once you've got the inspiration and the courage, you've done the planning, that's when you have to take the leap and just put one foot in front of the other and try it, because that's where that next level of work happens. That, you know, you've got to live it. You've got to get in there and get dirty and you know, try, or else, again, what are the consequences of inaction? Is, oh, you know, what if I coulda, woulda, shoulda, which really doesn't serve anybody, you know? So once you've gotten that courage, you plan, and then you just got to get out there and do it and trust yourself through it and know that there are going to be those highs and lows, and it'll be a little bit of a roller coaster ride, but enjoy the ride. That's what I say. Enjoy the ride. Have fun. Have fun in all of it, in every moment of it, and embrace it.
I love it. I have a plan, and it's funny when you say try it, just go for it. No one ever died by trying, right? No one looked back
at their
died
life.
No one looked back at their
But they
life
died without trying. You know, there are a lot of people who die having a lot of regrets. Yeah. It's
right.
Like you see your point. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like no one goes, dies and says, I should have really not tried that. You know what I'm saying? It's just, that's not what you say. You know, so go out and just try. But speaking of all this, and I just wanted to thank you and wrap it up, but I definitely want you to have some last words. But I also, and speaking of entrepreneurship, I want you to please share with us where we all can go or how we can, you know, really be involved and know what's going on with how you define me. How do we purchase your goods? How does this work? Tell us.
Oh, thank you for asking. So in 8 business days, I'm on a countdown. My website will be live, and it's idefineme.com. And the define is actually spelled with a Y because, as we've been talking, I think everybody is in tune with the fact that it definitely takes a certain level of defiance to, you know, stay true to who you are. So it's idefineme.com. My website will be live. I have a social media marketing campaign that will hit YouTube, et cetera. So I would love for people to come take a look and, you know, see if you're interested. And if it resonates, you know, share some of the messages and the stories. We have a storytelling campaign with people talking about their life experiences on the website and how they push through some of their challenges. So if it resonates, I say, you know, share and be part of the community. And thank you for even coming to take a look. And thank you for asking, Jose, and having me. This is great.
Absolutely.
So much fun.
Absolutely. So if let's say, do you have an email, like if someone has the questions regarding the company, would you want to way to contact you?
Yes. They can email me at idefineme@gmail.com. So idefineme, again, define spelled with a Y, and idefineme@gmail.com.
Fantastic. Well, Shaki, unfortunately, we're out of time, but I want to thank you.
Great.
I want to thank you. Really, it's been a great conversation, inspiration, nuggets. I want to thank you for being here and sharing your personal story, and also for being so candid, right? It's not easy sometimes these pieces of us that we want to share are not so easy to actually do, but they're definitely done with a purpose and that should inspire others. I wish you the best of luck moving forward personally and with I Define Me and all your other endeavors.
Thank you, Jose, and I want to just say a word about you and what you're doing. I think this is such a great platform, and I appreciate you bringing me and, you know, all the other guests forward to help inspire your audience and, you know, move them closer to living their best life. This is amazing, and you're doing great work. So I am so proud to call you friend and brother and have you in my circle. So thanks. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. That means a lot to me. All right, everyone. So as for me, you can reach me at info@hotelbinolifecoach.com. This is my website, hotelbinolifecoach.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at hotelbinocoach. And also, like I mentioned before, there's a plethora of shows here on Life Coach Radio Network, and we have an international Life Coach Radio Network as well, so definitely check out the show. The next show will be at 2 p.m. tomorrow, and it will be with Coach Leanne. And she's the adoption coach. It's her niche. You can check her description and go to Life Coach Radio Network and find out exactly what she'll be talking tomorrow. Again, thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you to my guest, Shaki. And until next time, and, you know, I always say this, you know, the topic, regardless of the topic, is always remember that those that got to where they are began where they were. Always remember that those that got to where they are began where they were. So whatever you want to accomplish or whatever changes you want to make in your life, big or small, simply take a small step and take action. It's not that hard, I promise. Thank you, everyone. Have a good night.